A4.
Number 14A.
We start now with point 2 under that category big B, and we take now the operational sense of being. You know that we have seen that Mrs. Eddy gives, so to say, three main categories of being. The first one was the seven synonymous terms as a constituent nature of being that we took just up to now. Then there is a second category, the operational sense of being, namely Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So I take now this second category and want to speak a bit about that. When Mrs. Eddy answers the question, what is God? Then she answers and says, God is, and gives four adjectives before she gives the synonymous terms. These adjectives are incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, and then she starts with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Indicating what? Indicating that those seven synonymous terms operate in a fourfold way, namely as the incorporeal Word of God, as the divine idea, divine, which is the Christ, and supreme as the new Christianity, that which is the outcome of the Christ, is the Christianity, and fourth, science, which is infinite, which explains the infinitude of that one being. So we can see at once that the nature of God, depicted through the seven synonymous terms, operate in a fourfold way. So we come now to a operational sense. Up to now, we have been considering the seven synonymous terms as just stating the nature of being, presenting the nature of being. But now, the second big category brings movement into that statement and shows how it operates. Again, if we would like to take a mathematical illustration, we would see it's not enough to reduce the infinite numbers to the 10 digits, but what we need then is to see how these 10 digits operate in relation to each other. And naturally, those operations are manifold, but again, we can reduce the operation just to simplicity, namely to 4, and mathematics does that. It has just addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and with those 4 modus operandi, mathematics gets quite far along. You can really cover, I would say, the field of arithmetic with just the 10 digits and the 4 ways of computing the 10 digits. So here too, Mrs. Eddy began to see that really the key to being, and therefore the key also to the scriptures, consists in the 7, which she depicts in the 7 days of creation in Genesis, and 2nd in Apocalypse, showing the climax of those 7 as operating in the symbolism of the Bible as the 4 sides of the holy city, which she interprets as Word, Christ, Christianity, and divine science. So that in the key to the scripture, she gives those 2 big categories, the 7 and the 4. And so we will consider a bit more closely what is meant by the 4. And so we just take a few examples, a few ideas of those 4, and perhaps make a list of them. So perhaps next to your notes which you make, you can make a list of those ideas characterizing the 4, and perhaps you just make on one sheet 4 columns, which you can capitalize, make a title. First column, Word, then Christ, second is Christianity, that's my abbreviation of it, and then science. So, Mrs. Eddy would say in that question, what is God? She would give that fourfold calculus and present the word as incorporeal. So we write it down in those columns. The Christ is divine, Christianity supreme, and science infinite. All right, you got that. And so we get the first introduction in this way. When Mr. Dawley was introducing the whole subject of those four, which is, so to say, the modus operandi, and therefore he called it also the calculus, the calculating way of the seven synonymous terms, then he used to explain it to us and said, you know, from the human point of view, the word is really seeking. And so let's write it down. The word is seeking, the Christ finding, Christianity is using, and science is being. What does it mean? See, from the human standpoint, the word is seeking. Why? Because from the human standpoint, we ask, what is God? That's the word. We are seeking, and by seeking, we build up in consciousness the nature of God. So it is, so to say, an additional process. All right, let's just put on the seeking. It is addition. See, when I seek and do not know the nature of God, then step by step I add, so to say, to my understanding what is the nature of God. I begin to see, oh yes, the nature of God is mind. And afterwards I see, oh yes, but that mind must be spirit. And afterwards I see that that spirit is of the nature of soul, is unchangeable. And that is then my new principle from which I work, which is going to demonstrate what? It's demonstrating life and truth and love. So I have a kind of a seeking process, which at the same time is a divine addition. Yes? The Christ, he said, is finding. What did he mean? He meant something very logical, namely that in the measure as I seek, I find. Because whatever I add to my understanding, I have found. So we can see that the Christ is indicating that when I seek, that I find, that something is given unto me. That's the finding. That's the Christ. All the Christ is always that which comes to me, which is, so to say, saying God comes to me. That's the Christ. Here, I find something. And so if I find something, I find it because I take it from God. And so it gives a sense of subtraction. So we could put in under the Christ subtraction. Yes? All right. What happens when I have been seeking and finding? When it has come to me and I have found something new which is now resting within me, then I should not lay it dormant. I should use it. Then comes the using of what I have found. You also can say applying that what I have found. So we have a sense of using as Christianity. It's the activity of applying that which we have found. Can you see that? And because I can use that which I have found over and over and over, once I have found a new idea, I cannot only use it once. I can use it over and over and over. And so it gives me a sense of multiplication. So we write here multiplication under Christianity. Yes? Can you see? But in the measure that I have been seeking and finding and then making use of it and making more and more and more and more and more use of it, I suddenly see that I'm just that. I'm being that what I have found through constant application. It becomes my own being. And that's the point of science, when we find that these ideas are our own being, our isness, beingness, which means divinely seen that I'm that, what God is. And because I see that everyone can be that, what God is, I have a feeling that this is a divine division. The whole is naturally divinely divided to each one, and it gives a sense of divine division. Now, we must be clear that in ordinary human language, we naturally have a false sense of division, or gives another sense of division, namely that you have a whole cake and you divide it up and every part is just a part and no more the whole. But if we take it as divine division, we can see exactly what we have been considering when we are considering the idea that each idea represents the whole, though it is given to each one. So in divine division, we see that each part is not a thing by itself, but is an accentuation of the whole, a partaker of the whole, and not just a little identity. So can you see the flow in here? You seek, while we seek, we begin to find. When we find, we don't have to stop there. We have to begin to use it. And if we use it more and more and more, we are feeling that we are that idea. Can you see the movement in it? Can you see that these four give modus operandi, that it is a movement which starts with a statement until it becomes ourselves? Or, taking again addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, we can see in seeking God, we add and add the nature of God to our understanding. As I add that, I see that I don't add it in an accretion way, but that I add it by a subtracting way. I take it from God. It's not accretion, but it is taking it from God. It is divine subtraction, divine deduction. And as I see that, I begin to see that what I have got, I can multiply and multiply and multiply, because it never runs out. Because I can subtract from God constantly, I can also multiply my identity, my activity, and so feel finally that because I can infinitely multiply, that I am part of God, that I partake of the divine division. That as a partaker of God, I have taken a part of God, but still it is of the nature of the whole of God. We could see that rhythm. See, it's like a rhythm, those four. Can you see those four are always showing how from a statement, from an initial proposition, we arrive at the solution. So, from the absolute point of view, I can look at the word it's different. If I look at the word from an absolute standpoint, then it is not seeking and not addition. From a divine standpoint, the word is revelation. So we can put in revelation under the word. How is it? Why is it that we can at all seek God and understand God? Because God himself wants to state himself as what he is. And that is called revelation. He states himself, he says what he is, he reveals to consciousness what he is. And he reveals his own nature, just like in the 7 days of creation, where every day starts and God said, let there be. In every day, it is a revelation of the nature of God. And if we stick to that standpoint of the absolute, then we can see that the Christ is a translation, that it is the divine translation from God to man. Not the other translation, just that translation from God to man. Because why? Christ is that which says, all right, I come to each one. It's the divine message from God to man. It's translating its nature to that point where man can understand God. It translates itself. Translates means that God uses that language which is understandable to each one. And so the Christ is that comforter which says, all right, I can speak to each one in the language he understands. No matter what that language is, if it is the language of an experience, if it is the language of a new idea breaking into consciousness, if it is some kind of an experience that happens in one's life, whatever it is, it translates itself to the point of idea. That's what the Christ does. He takes the whole principle and says, I translate that principle to that specific idea which is adapted to that situation. That one can see what a beauty lies in that office of the Christ, that it is that tremendous wonder of wonders that says, though God is all in all, still he can come in an absolutely specific individual way to each one so that it is adapted to each one. Can you see? That's the Christ. You can see that the Christ has nothing to do with a religious connotation or with Jesus or things like that. It is the ability of fundamental translatability. And you know that fact, you know, say, as an illustration, say, I give a class like this one. Here is a class listening to it, and they all hear the same words. I'm not saying other words to each one. I say the same words, the whole. But everyone goes out and says, I liked that. And everybody liked something else. Huh? Or says, this has now become clear in this hour. And each one says something else. You see, that's translatability. That's the ability in being, which is a wonder, which we cannot explain humanly. Because the Christ is divine. We cannot explain humanly, but it is a fact which we could state and which we could find that the whole does translate itself specifically and individually to each situation. We call that to the point of idea, of individual idea. So that it can really be the savior. It doesn't touch or it doesn't leave any situation untouched. If we go further to Christianity or Christianity, we come to reflection, still from the point of view of the absolute. You see This line of reasoning right here is from the absolute. First, God saying, I reveal myself. I want to reveal myself. I reveal myself how? Through the Christ, through my ability of translating myself to the point of individual receptivity. That's the Christ. And when it comes to the point of idea, then we have seen that this idea reflects all other idea. That this translatability comes from all kind of ways and brings forth the right full idea. So that through the Christ, really, everything focuses on the idea so that the idea can gather its immensity, its effulgence, and really do the job that needs to be done. And to do that job that needs to be done, it needs all those ideas which are necessary to do that job. That's what we call reflection. That each idea reflects all the other ideas. And then we come to science, and here usually Mr. Dawley called it either interpretation or understanding. Let's put it understanding. That because, you see, through that reflection, all error is eliminated, and the pure idea is brought into focus, the whole thing becomes transparent. The whole situation that was unrevealed at the beginning, through revelation, translation, pure reflection, becomes understood, becomes transparent, or you can say understandable. So that actually you can see again the whole rhythm in it, that revelation would not have been necessary if we would have understood God right from the beginning, then there is no need for revelation. So it starts out and says, I do not understand. What can we do about it? If we know the calculus of the four, we know, I only have through seeking, open up my thought, unrestrictedly open up my thought through seeking, that revelation can break in, that God can reveal himself to me. And by revealing himself to me and not to you, he has to use the Christ translation, the specific translation to the idea, bringing forth within us the pure reflection. And when the pure reflection is established, I can see through it, I understand it. Naturally, we could see that and ask ourselves, what does it do, say now, to the human? See, I always take up another aspect in the four and say to, again now ask, what does that calculus do to the human? What does it do to the human when revelation breaks in? What is the kind of reaction that is brought forth by the word when it reveals itself? Then you can say through revelation, say, darkness is scattered or ignorance is scattered. Huh? So the word is really the scattering of ignorance or darkness in the biblical language, you see. It's always that the light comes in and the darkness scatters. So the human begins to notice the point of revelation when suddenly things become clearer and clearer.